All right. Well, my clock says it's 9 o'clock. So with that, we will get started. So good morning, everyone, and welcome to the weekly Tallahassee Tourism Zoom call. Thank you all so much for being with us today. Carrie Post is taking a much deserved vacation this week, so I am filling in for her. I know many of you know me already, but for those who don't, my name is Katie Cole, and I'm the Senior Marketing Director for Visit Tallahassee, which is also known as the Leon County Division of Tourism. So before we get started, I know this is, y'all been on 100 Zoom calls, and you know the drill, but please mute your microphone. With so many people on the call, it's imperative everyone do this in order for us all to hear. So with that housekeeping step out of the way, I am so excited about our call this week. This week we have partnered with KCCI as part of their second annual Placemaking Week. And we have two very exciting speakers that are going to discuss and share how they leverage place to grow tourism. So our first guest speaker is Amy Ross, who is the director of Bike Bentonville. Amy will share today how she, along with other community leaders, shaped Bentonville, Arkansas into the mountain biking capital of the world. Amy believes in the success of the Bentonville model and hopes to one day educate hundreds of communities, including ours, across the nation, that the investment in cycling can enhance both economic development as well as healthier communities. So as a destination that is actively seeking to promote its mountain biking, it's truly an honor to have Amy with us today, and I really look forward to hearing what she has to share. Our second speaker is Ben Pingree, who is the director of PLACE, which is an acronym for the Tallahassee and Leon County's Department of Planning, Land Management, and Community Enhancement. In his role as director, Ben oversees the Tallahassee-Leon County Planning Department, the Office of Economic Vitality, and the Blueprint Intergovernmental Agency, which is a lot. So Ben's going to talk to us today about his mission to create a livable, sustainable, and economically vibrant community for both residents and visitors to enjoy. So before we hear from our two wonderful speakers, I do want to take a moment and share just a few community updates. Where I'd love to only share positive news in this COVID-19 world, we know that that isn't always possible. So in a proactive effort to minimize COVID-19 exposure and potential spread, the Tallahassee Museum announced yesterday that based just out of an abundance of caution, they canceled all of their significant fall fundraising events. So these events include Halloween Howl, Zubilee, and unfortunately, one of our region's most treasured events of the season, Market Days. So this decision to cancel these events certainly did not come easily or lightly for the museum, and it's going to have significant consequences on the museum's budget and the economic impact that these events provide to our community. So I'm encouraging everyone to help support the museum. We have incredible weather for September going on right now, and consider taking advantage of this weather and maybe visiting the museum this weekend or sometime in the near future. And as we all know, last week, bars were able to officially open and operate at 50% capacity. So I did want to take a moment and just highlight a few restaurants and bars that have reopened their dining rooms. So Bar 1903, which opened right before COVID-19 hit, has reopened at 50% capacity on Monday. Cool Beans reopened last Thursday, their dining room. And Liberty is reopening this evening for dinner. So lots of great news that is coming out of our restaurant partners. Also, in the middle of a pandemic, it feels like there's restaurants that are opening every week, which is awesome. New restaurants in Tallahassee. But we encourage you to keep supporting them by ordering takeout or dining in if you feel so comfortable. I'd also highly recommend following Tallahassee Foodies and Tallahassee Table on Facebook for just the latest news and openings and reopenings from our restaurants. There was also some exciting news out of the Downtown Improvement Authority as they announced late last week that they will be hosting a drive-in movie at the Civic Center on October 16th. Pretty cool event that they are putting on there. And they're asking for community input on what movies to show. So you can help them and put your input in by visiting Tallahassee Downtown on Facebook and commenting on your top choice. Just a very quick update on our COVID numbers. The country reached a pretty grim milestone this week with more than 200,000 deaths. And in Florida, according to the Florida Department of Health, there have been over 687,000 positive cases of COVID-19 in the state of Florida as of yesterday. Tallahassee and Leon County reports over 9,800 positive cases of COVID-19, and there have been 57 deaths of COVID locally. So we continue to spike, and Tallahassee is considered a national hotspot. So let's all continue to do our part to wear face coverings in public places. And as Carrie always says on her call, and I'm going to continue that on, it's not too much to mask. So please continue to do that. Also, please make sure to thank a healthcare or an essential worker, as they are truly on the front lines in our community every day. Please continue to also keep in mind that we're currently in the peak of hurricane season. Fortunately, we don't have a lineup like we've had in the past, so that's good news out of hurricanes. But please make sure that you and your family and your business are hurricane ready. So shifting gears to the fun stuff. We are nearly 7 months into this ever-evolving COVID pandemic, and we are still learning and adapting every week. And these weekly industry meetings are provided to share learning, share knowledge, and share support for each other and our community. So I am delighted for the opportunity to partner with KCCI and be a part of their placemaking week. And I'm excited about our two wonderful speakers that have taken time out of their day to join us. And Amy joined us pretty early in the morning, so thank you, Amy, for that. Before we hear from our speakers, I'd like to ask Betsy Couch, who is KCCI's Executive Director, to just say a few words about the power of place and KCCI's efforts with Placemaking Week. So welcome, Betsy. Thank you so much for being with us, and thank you for helping us arrange this week.
Thank you, Katie, and we are so excited for today's call and talking about how place can be leveraged to grow tourism. And as many of you know, each year KCCI annually leads a diverse group of catalysts to implement placemaking projects. And those are usually pretty large scale, you know, things like getting an amphitheater in Cascades Park, building the Discovery Play area in Cascades Park, the iconic TLH letters. And as you've heard from me before, months ago, you know, our current team is looking at how do we become a safer cycling community and then also a better mountain biking destination. And what we see all across the country and the world is when countries really hone in and focus on leveraging place and growing their sense of place, they fare better economically. And in turn, tourism is usually a big draw for those cities as well. And when we talk about place, it's not becoming something that you're not. It's taking your current assets and really making them be the best version of themselves. So I'm really excited for you guys to hear today from Ben Pengree and also from Amy in Bentonville. And just a couple of examples, because you might be saying, well, what do you mean place and how does that benefit tourism? So just a couple of examples right here in Florida. I don't know how many of you have heard of Lake Placid, but it's a little town in central South Florida. And they said, what can we do to get put on the international tourism map? So they went out and they invested in really interactive, creative murals. Now their community has more than 40 of these, just they're fascinating, these murals. And they have travelers come from all over the world just to go see those murals. So something as simple as something like that, they wanted to show their local artists and their local talent through that project. You've also probably heard of Wynwood Walls in Miami. That's another area that kind of used art to really grow place. You also kind of sometimes see communities coming together around like an iconic piece. So you look at Chicago and the Bean. I'm sure a lot of you have seen it or been there or heard about it. But Chicago invested $500 million to build the Bean and the park right there. But it pays off because it brings in $2.6 billion in tourist spending. And that's billion with a B. And they have tracked that it has added $1.4 billion in value just in the surrounding real estate right around that Chicago Bean. You also see cities like Bentonville, Arkansas, which we're so excited Amy's going to be talking today. You know, Bentonville has done a lot to focus in on how they can enhance place. So what can they do to improve their parks, their pedestrian experiences, their cultural experiences, and then also mountain biking. They really collectively focused in and said, what can we do to improve our cycling experience? And so she's going to talk a lot more about that today. And then we are also, I think, in Leon County, extremely fortunate that we have governmental leadership that does see the value of place and invest in that. And so you'll get to hear from Ben Pengree, who's going to talk a lot about what they're doing in terms of placemaking. And I think even through Blueprint, the exciting things happening. I'm actually going to have to get off the call because KCCI today, in partnership with the City of Tallahassee, we are unveiling the Art of the Box project. So I'm down here. It was too loud to be by the box. But we basically took graffitied traffic control boxes, which are at intersections all around town, and we are wrapping them and with local artwork by local artists. So sometimes placemaking can be small scale, like Art of the Box. Sometimes it can be large scale in terms of creating big parks or doing a huge kind of collective push in a certain industry. And so I just, with that, I will turn it over to Amy to talk about what Bentonville has done for their community.
Thanks, Betsy, and hi, everyone. Again, my name's Amy Ross. I'm the director of Bike Bentonville. I'm going to share my screen and just run through a quick presentation just to visually give you guys a better outlook. There we go. Bentonville offers a sense of place where businesses thrive and individuals' quality of life can flourish because of our unique, inclusive, and forward-thinking culture. We didn't always feel like we were a model trail community. I think over the last couple of years, we've really embraced that opportunity and then look for ways that we can share that story with folks like you. Bike Bentonville is part of Visit Bentonville, and Visit Bentonville's mission is to brand, promote, and sell Bentonville as a tourism destination, stimulating economic development. I think we've heard a lot about that already this morning, and many of you already know that. So the unique thing for us with having Bike Bentonville as being part of Visit Bentonville and the cycling brand allows us to brand our community and market it to increase cycling awareness within Bentonville and then beyond. So not only primarily do we focus on visitors, but it does allow us to help the community as well, as far as building amenities, partnerships that ultimately benefit not only the people that are living here, but the visitors that are coming. So where did this all start? I like to go back to the vision. In 2006, there was this idea to build mountain bike trails, an urban trail system just to the north of town. There was a plot of land that was open that had not been developed back in the early 1940s. It was a slaughterhouse known as Slaughter Pen Hollow. And then it was owned by a bunch of different land managers, some city, some private. So this vision to build some mountain bike trails there happened from some private entities, and they started actually building trails on their property. The idea that they had was to focus on a quality of life for their residents. As many of you know, Bentonville is the home to Walmart and many vendors within that community. A lot of employees were transferring to Bentonville and doing kind of what people around here talk about as like a two-year tour of duty. They went to Bentonville and did their tour, and then they left because there really wasn't a lot here. Many of the people that had grown up in this community really wanted to change that opportunity. And so from some partnerships with the Walton Family Foundation, as they began creating their home region division and project to work with the local community to focus specifically on quality of life for residents. And this is where the mountain bike trails and then the cycling aspect with the Razorback Greenway came along with that. So from there, many of those early adapters and visionaries started advocating for what they wanted in mountain bike trails with different city leadership. So even my boss, Kayleen, would get these meeting or requests for meetings from these locals in the community that wanted to talk about mountain bike trails. And she was very open-minded to having those discussions. And during those discussions, when they told her they were going to build 5 miles of trail and they wanted her to promote it as a tourism opportunity, she kind of giggled a little bit and thought, what else is there? How much farther is this going? And then they started sharing their broader vision about connectivity across the whole region. If she was here, she would say to remind you all to be purposeful when thinking about cycling as part of your story and being patient with those industry or city leaders within your community that you're trying to advocate for the things that you want. Then came along the strategy. Where do they start? So they started with this urban trail system known as Slaughterpen now. Phase one was completed in 2007, and that was only 5 miles. From there, they went back to the city and advocated to develop another plot of land within that system that added another 7 miles. And that happened by the end of 2008. And then by the end of 2009, they developed phase three, which added another 10 miles. They still felt though that there was something missing because it wasn't quite connected to the community in the downtown square of Bentonville. And that's when the idea of the All-American Trail came. And so the All-American actually parallels the Razorback Greenway through the community of Bentonville. And I will even say in the last year, how much the All-American Trail has changed and shaped, has really done a lot for our community and connecting that urban mountain bike experience to our downtown amenities. The All-American now spans the distance from the very south end of the trail system to the very north end. The exact mileage, I don't remember, but they have continued to build and develop off of that original quarter of a mile trail. So local collaboration and partnerships, what I spoke about, was super important. Talking about land management opportunities, who's going to manage these systems once they're finished? So there was a lot of discussion with Bentonville Parks and Rec as far as adding them to their lineup of facilities and parks. We also have another park that was developed in 2016. It broke ground then. It's actually not even officially open. It's known as the Kohler Mountain Bike Preserve, and that's actually managed under a private foundation. So it allows for some different opportunities, but there's lots of collaboration that happens within our community to make all of that happen. And there are a lot of partners here, a lot. I will tell you, I have a list, started listing out a lot of them. It was over 20 different partnerships that have all come together to make pieces of this work. Development. Okay, so now you have your vision, you have your strategy. Now you're talking about actually building and connecting all of those pieces. So a lot of what they wanted to focus on was innovation and really focus on being that modern destination for mountain biking. Stakeholders here knew we were not going to be Moab. We were not going to be Crested Butte, but we were going to be Bentonville. And what did that mean? And what could we do? I briefly spoke about Kohler Mountain Bike Preserve. This is the first preserve that we know of across the U.S. that is dedicated specifically, first and foremost, for mountain bikers. All the trail there is optimized for mountain bikers and continues to be developed out with the thought of mountain biking as the forefront. There's a paved greenway that runs through the length of it now. You see lots of people out there walking and riding. And here before the end of the year, they will open their first bike up coffee cafe in the middle of the preserve. So the only way to get there is to either walk or ride. The other connecting to other experiences, I think, is what has also helped shape our uniqueness. We do have a lot of public art. The Greenway connects a lot of those opportunities, and we have a public art map that I have up in the corner that shows you different aspects of some public art. Like there's a neon tour that we do, and it ties the trail systems into the art. So if you wanted to ride along the Greenway or ride along the trails and find different pieces of art, you can do that. The best thing that I love is taking people on tours, and you come around a corner on a trail and there's a big wall that's painted some sort of mural, and people are just like surprised to see that there. So they've taken different things that have been left and preserved over the years and really figured out how to integrate them into the ultimate culture that we're creating. Again, tying the trail system back into the downtown hub, our Parks and Rec director says my favorite thing is that the Bentonville Town Square is the best trailhead in America, because the town square is always buzzing with people. There's so many great restaurants and shops, and the trailhead is right there. It literally is about less than a quarter mile off of the downtown square. We also have a lot of bike friendly hotels that have bought into that purposeful connection to cycling. They provide bike lockers. They provide tools at their hotels. Some of them have provided bike washes. And then for us, the Airbnb market has been really strong too, because we don't have a lot of hotels in our downtown square. The Airbnb market has, quite frankly, exploded for us, and it allows people the opportunity to fly into the airport, Uber to their Airbnb, and never have to rent a car. And then overall, kind of balancing some of the design and build with the creativity that we have and where to build, how much to build. We kind of joke around here a lot of times is that people ask us for trail maps, and as soon as we print them, they're out of date because there is so much trail being built across the entire region on a weekly basis that it's kind of hard to keep up. I don't see a future yet where that is stopping, and we're very fortunate for some of the investments that we have from stakeholders in the cycling in this community. So as a whole, right now, at the end of 2019, we were totaling 484 miles of trail in Northwest Arkansas. That's 322 miles of soft surface trail and 162 miles of paved multi-use trail. Okay, so once you have the vision, the strategy, you have trail built, how do you tell people about it? How do you program it? You can't just expect that if you build it, they will come. Many of them will. Many of them will find out. But we also looked at ways that we could partner with national level partners to bring opportunities in which people from other communities already connected with another brand and brought them to Bentonville. So in 2016, the local stakeholders here partnered with IMBA to host the 2016 IMBA World Summit. And it was the biggest summit that IMBA had ever put on. They did a very unique, unconventional convention format because Bentonville does not have a large-scale convention center. So we utilized pieces of the community as different meeting areas and general sessions, and it allowed their participants to interact with our community from a culinary experience, and then being able to participate in the trail experiences that we have within during different breakout sessions. We continue to have partnerships with organizations like the League of American Bicyclists. It's always great to follow through on some of their awards that they do as far as great cycling communities. Every year they award different communities and rank them. And so we try to participate in those and help our city fill out all that paperwork that helps get some of those noteworthy denotations for us. And then People for Bikes, another national level organization that we continue to look for opportunities to work with when they're hosting different sessions and things. And then a bunch of different events. Some of these events were local. Some of them come in from outside, larger event promoters. The Slaughter Pen Jam was something that was put on here locally. We've actually had to remove that from the calendar because we now have so many larger scale events that the calendar was getting too packed for that. But we've worked with Epic Rides to create the Oz Trails Off-Road. We host smaller mountain bike clinics and camps. And then this year, or late last year, we announced a partnership with Lifetime and expanded outside of our mountain bike assets to gravel, which is a new and upcoming form of cycling. And so this is allowing us to both integrate some of our mountain bike trails into their route, as well as showcasing a broader aspect of our region. And just to give you some numbers as far as what the impact is for this. So in 2017, there was a study done and they found that there was a 70% increase in economic value because of cycling. There was, in 2018, we fostered $101.6 million in economic impact. And that's over the course of hosting about 30 events or meetings, summits that were related directly to cycling. So we're being really purposeful in thinking about what we're going after. Marketing. We continue to tell our story, share our story, like opportunities like this. We usually never say no. We want everyone to be just as successful as we are. We know that you're probably not going to be Bentonville, but be your community. Find what is unique for your community's experience and build that in. So continuing to tell that story, media partnerships. We've partnered with Bike Magazine and Outside Magazine to host their bike tests. It allows us to bring in a very specific niche group of cyclists. They test bikes. They talk about what they've ridden, put that out there, but then they're also telling the story of our community. We recently got a piece in Bike Rumor that's an online evergreen content that we can continue to update, called Where to Ride, and it talks about everything from the trails to the coffee to the breweries to the hotels to the museums. So looking for those opportunities to share that story. Branding. So from a city level, I talked about the Bike Bentonville brand. It's a way to directly connect with a cycling audience. From a region perspective, we were fortunate that there was some visionaries that saw, how do we tie this all together as a region? And they hired a branding agency and created the Oz Trails brand, which has now become a nationally known brand that we can tie to and talk about. Bentonville has a certain level of assets when it comes to mountain biking, but we don't have everything. But across the region, there is something. So we like to say that we're the gateway to the rest of the Northwest Arkansas region and something that you can find. And then last year, there was a partnership created between our state parks and the Walton Family Foundation, and they created the Monument Trail System, which is offering an opportunity to build trail mountain bike trails in every state park in the state. It is a very long-term mission, but they have already opened 4 different state parks. Some of them already had trails and they went in and sort of revitalized them, updated them to new standards. And now they're branding them as monument trails so that when someone comes in, they can have that overall experience and not just hit one state park, but multiple, and have something as like a checklist. And then recently, during COVID, many of the stakeholders here got together and really thought, like, I think it's time for us to put a stake in the ground. And what stake is that that we wanted to create? And so through a working group of local stakeholders, we proclaimed ourselves the mountain bike capital of the world. It has been very controversial for us in some cases. But I think it's an opportunity to share our story, where we've been over the last decade and where we're going. And again, telling people about that modern mountain bike destination. We're not Moab, we're not Crested Butte, we're Bentonville, and we're a modern mountain bike destination. It allows us to talk about the innovation and trail development that is happening here because of the investments that we have from some of the local stakeholders. There's opportunities that we have that we know we can challenge trail builders to do things here. They can hone their craft and then go out and share those new techniques with other communities where they aren't going to be losing the money on those tests. The urban accessibility, and then big for us is the community collaboration. We wouldn't have been able to do all this without that. And then finally, at the end of the day, data tells your story. You need that data to sell back to your investors, your community leaders, developers, and other partners to paint the picture of the trail system is there. Is it being used? It's been really interesting, and I'm sure you guys have seen this too. During COVID, the amount of trail use has increased. I even saw the report from August from some of the eco counters that we have that there was 123% increase just on one trail system, which is fantastic. So we know that the trails are getting utilized. The fact that they're that urban connectivity for us, I hear it all the time where you have people on the Greenway and they look over and they see these people riding bikes in the woods and they wonder, what is that? And then they start looking, and the next thing you know, they're looking for opportunities to get involved and try something new. So as far as how we're collecting data, we do have eco counters out on several of the trail systems. They're not on every trail. They're on some of the ones that we know are the most popular. And we collect that data on a monthly basis. We've also partnered with Strava, and we buy into the data dashboard on the background to see what trails are being used the most. And you can see a Strava ride here that I posted. This is one of our trail systems and a route. On the back end, you can see heat maps. You can see percentage of use. You can see whether or not they're male or female. So you get an idea of gender, age sometimes. So there's a lot of different information that we go in and dig in, and depending on who we're talking to, we can share some of that information on a year-over-year basis. And it's pretty inexpensive. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I know that recently they changed some of that because of the fact that Strava went to a more of a paid platform for their end users, and their end users are their quote unquote athletes. So Strava sells itself to those end users as being the social network for athletes. You can post a ride, you can look at your PRs. There's all different kinds of opportunities for different challenges that you can participate in as a user. So having that relationship has been important for us. And then the research, we're fortunate enough because we have the Walton Family Foundation in our backyard that they partnered with People for Bikes to create a research study, and they started measuring this in 2017. They went back and collected data from 2015, where they had a small baseline that had been done. And now every year, they are studying those reports, and those reports are out there online. You all have access to seeing them. And the thought behind that is to be able to showcase that if we are showing positive results, that there may be opportunity for other communities to see those results as well. You can see some of the screenshots here of some of those numbers that were posted. I can tell you that property values of homes, if you're within a quarter of a mile from the trail system, your home value increased by $15,000. If you were a mile from the trail system, your home value increased $6,000. So those are some pretty big numbers. And then as far as like some of the other data that was collected here, in 2017, there was $27 million in tourism across the region that was collected by out-of-state visitors. And then
it's
100...
funny how big bicycle things are.
Yeah. And then on top of that, the $137 million, the breakout on that was $86 million in saved healthcare costs and $51 million in business benefits. I know it's kind of hard to see there. So, and then from 2015 through 2019, you can see there was a percentage of 24% increase of bike usage. The new reports show 36% in cycling usage and 13% growth in pedestrian. And one of the other data points that came out of the 2019 study that I thought was really interesting was that Northwest Arkansas has more cyclists daily per capita using trails than San Francisco. And finally, to wrap, we like to say that tourism is the gateway to economic development. People aren't going to invest or move into your community until they visit. We hear it quite a bit anecdotally that people will come and then they're looking to buy. Our friend of ours is a realtor, and I can't tell you how many times he has sold houses to mountain bikers that have traveled in from other places and are either purchasing a home that they're going to Airbnb that they can then use as a place for them to come and spend their long weekends and vacation. You know, we know that tourism will facilitate economic recovery as we come out of COVID-19. And our motto here in our office is sell for yes. Always say yes, knowing that there may be some compromises between you and that partner that you're working with. But try to think outside the box and be open to developing those new relationships and trying something different in that collaboration. And that's it. If anyone has any questions, I'm happy to answer anything.
Thank you so much, Amy. Yes, if anyone does have any questions, we will take them now. But oh my gosh, my head is spinning with ideas. That was a great presentation. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Any questions for Amy? Right. Well, thank you again, Amy, for joining us. Again, this is a wonderful presentation, and this is being recorded and will be on our website. So if we want to point anyone in the direction to watch that, it's available. So, all right. Well, our next speaker today is Ben Pingree, who's the director of PLACE. Ben is here today to talk about what he and his team are doing here in Tallahassee and Leon County to create a livable, sustainable, and economically vibrant community for both our visitors and our residents. So Ben, thank you so much for being with us today, and take it away.
No, thank you very much. No, it's great following Amy. I think I've got a presentation. I'm gonna try and be brief with it, although there's a lot of good information, but you have to start, I think, your comments after that strong of a presentation, particularly to an audience of us, with an acknowledgement that we purposefully continue to learn from the Bentonvilles. I know that many on this call will recall that we traveled recently to Greenville to learn about what they had done for trails. But I don't want any air to pass before you know and feel confident that we are really cooking with gas when it comes to solving for yes for our own future here. Bentonville, the Mighty, really has done such a good job of identifying the opportunity, leveraging grants and outside dollars, which is something that we do frequently, seeing what the potential could be, and then branding well. But I want to highlight a couple of things just for us to know. When they speak to some of their brands and they're getting out the word, Trailahassee, which we have done here at Visit Tallahassee and Leon County Tourism, has really become a very strong asset. Bentonville appropriately, including in this meeting, highlighted their 484 miles of trail. You may be surprised or not to know that we have 700 miles of trails. And we really are moving forward. Bentonville shared the story of how they really started in the mid-early 2000s. So did we, with the dawn of the St. Mark's Trail. And you're going to see in my presentation that we're really focusing on this more and more. Bentonville's done a great job with IMBA, the International Mountain Biking Association, and we're starting to do those same kinds of things here. This isn't to say that we're there. And it certainly isn't a takeaway from them. They are the gold standard. But it is to tell you, we're coming and we're well underway. So I'm going to ask Susan Emanuel to share her screen and get me going here with some of the slides that we've got prepared for you. Susan, if you're on, can you work your magic? There we go. All right. This is me. This is the easiest slide. Questions, comments, vicious personal attacks. That's how to get me later. Okay, next slide. Next. Sorry for the wonkiness on this, guys. It's the best system I've got here in my COVID state. All right, so if that is who I was, this is who we are. And this is all of us, and nobody knows this better than Leon County Tourism, because we all advocate for the same objective, and that's the success of our community, highlighting it, putting its best face forward, and generating economic activity. There's a lot on this slide, a lot of it that you know, but when it comes to highlighting how we're unique, we really do believe as a community, and we'll stay in the trail theme. We are ecologically so unique. We're not Moab either, or a number of other places, but no one is like us, where you can go from the Red Hills to the coast. And every year we get stronger at advocating and putting the pieces of that puzzle together. And it's getting recognized and noticed. There you see the 700 miles of trails. We have 6,000 plus acres of parks, not including all the national forests that all surround us. And the trail numbers, that's just within Leon County as well, acknowledging we have the Capital City to the Sea Loop and so many other trails that exist around us that we're unveiling next. All right, so just a real high level for those that have heard me speak before, here's what the point I want to tell you with this. So what is place? Don't worry about it. Really, I have the privilege of serving sort of at the fulcrum with three great department heads. And when it's economic development, or we call it vitality or planning or blueprint, which is major infrastructure, you can go to any nationwide conference on any of these different subject areas, and you will hear success in that area involves the other components. We are one of the few communities that actually has aligned all of these focal areas in one cohesive, comprehensive department. And that really gives us a leg up, I think. Next. All right, we've talked about placemaking. I think it's just good. I think Betsy did a good job at describing it, but you're talking about optimizing what you've got, right? You're talking about focusing your attention, your policies, and your investment on making what you have that's good, great, and then getting the word out and fostering love for your community, not just from the outside, but from within as well. Next. All right. So talk a little bit about economic development and vitality. We focus and align very well with tourism. This is our vision statement. Won't linger on it, but we share it with Visit Tallahassee. Next. You see the mission. Let's keep going here. I know you've heard from Christina Paredes on our team. All right. So, yeah, we support tourism. What a great statement that was made before about, you know, tourism being a gateway for economic development activities. That is absolutely correct. I can't tell you how many business leads we have where there is some personal tie to the community. And even if there isn't a personal tie to the community, make no mistake, any business leader looking to make a expansion decision, the first thing the first role they're playing in making that selection is the role of a tourist of sorts, imagining what would it be like to live here? What are the assets? What are the strengths? What are the weaknesses? And how can I fit into that vision? Next. Planning department, I don't want to go too deep on this, just at a high level, folks. There are legal documents, the comprehensive plan being a great example of how we guide. Again, how are we investing and guiding and leading the private sector to invest over time, their investments, their expansion, their improvement, the constant evolution of a community is laid out in its planning documents. And then where the private sector meets that, that's where the magic is at. We can probably do this another time. Next. If you want more information on planning, well, Lonnie is a great example. I can't, in the current narrative, we can't talk planning without talking about Lonnie. Why? Because it's huge. It's what's next for our community. It's within the urban service area boundary. It could lead to the first new interchange since Eisenhower was president. The potential for tourism, for trails, for new businesses, for new recreation activities, and connectivity is just immense. And the planning department is neck deep in it. Next. Design Works is a component of the planning department. The short version on this, hit the next slide if you would, Susan, is they can add value to you. I don't care if you're a major developer wondering what could be, or whether you're, you know, mom and pop and you're thinking about putting a mother-in-law suite on your house at no additional cost. Every question that you have about the development cycle or application process, we've got a team of professionals that has worked in the private sector that can really support you, whether you're looking to do a new hotel, and they do everything, by the way. If you look at the new Cascades project, it's had a lot of private sector work, but make no mistake, the very first people they turned to was Design Works. And a lot of what you actually see in the built environment now was first conceptualized by the team that we had at Design Works. Next. I promise to keep you on a quick pace here. All right, so blueprint, major infrastructure. This is a lot of fun, guys. Everybody knows about Blueprint 2000. Cascades being a great example. You talk about placemaking. How about 30 brownfield acres in the heart of your city that for generations were walled off, literally saying, don't come in. And then you turn that into, with the, you know, $30 million of investment, you make it the heart and the welcoming mat to your community with hundreds of millions of dollars of renovation and revitalization occurring around it. We've got $1.2 billion worth of projects over the next 20 years. And, you'll hear a little bit about it today, but you're going to continue to hear a lot about it moving forward, because this is how we reinvest in ourselves. This is how we prioritize our story and then open it up to every facet of our community. And then after doing that, sort of lay out the welcoming mat to the world to come and get to know and love Tallahassee and Leon County. Next. Few placemaking projects I just want to highlight. One is at Market District. Betsy actually has been very involved in this. We're just trying to find out now. We're actually in the middle, next slide, of the public outreach for this is the where, this is the what. What do we want this community space to be? It's really just sort of raw land now. As you can see here, and you can get more involved at, you see the website at the bottom, Tallahassee, pardon me, marketdistrict.com. Have your voice lent to it. Some people want it to have a great trailhead facility, and certainly will be connected to trails any way you slice it. Others are envisioning more of a passive park. There's a lot going on there, and there's ways to get involved. Again, placemaking is all about enhancing the assets that you have within limited resources and just creating that love, that attraction for what is unique in our community. Next. We're also doing it on the south side very quickly. This is about a $4.7 million project. It's going to have a new massive bus stop, but it's also going to have drainage improvements and other sorts of activation on the south side of our community. Construction starting in a couple of years. Next. And then in Monroe Adams, there's a lot of trailhead moving over and connectivity and sidewalks moving over from South Monroe Corridor, which is a complete street project we're working with DOT on now, but connecting that to FAMU and again, just continuing to improve, drawing down from downtown and down from Cascades Park, that revitalization, that sense of pride and the beauty and the physical environment investment on the south side of our community. Next. All right, we talked a little bit about Wilani Boulevard. This is sort of where you can see the size and scope of it and envision, if you will, that new interchange that will be forthcoming. Next. Substantially, and I actually have lost from memory the exact number, but there's going to be miles of trails that are woven into this blueprint project all around the new Wilani development, again, tying to other trails, biking, pedestrian and otherwise, and greenways. Next. I think that has us focusing on what we're doing now. You may be aware that the canopy development is a component of Wilani that is being built out. And then the remaining portion that is just in the planning stages south of I-10 is actually on city-owned land. So this is how it'll phase, basically going through the canopy development first, then through the city, then hopscotching over I-10 and a new bridge being built, and ultimately a new interchange there, and then through north of I-10. Next. Just a little bit about parks and trails. There's a lot of information on this slide, but $15.8 million over 20 years. It intends to get us about 70 new miles of trails. And then connectivity is key. Not shown on this slide is all of the various 700 miles of trails that we have. How do we continue to connect the dots? How do we continue to improve our system? And then separately with Visit Tallahassee and Trailahassee and other platforms, how do we amplify that word or that, yeah, the good word, so that Bentonville and Greenville can come to Tallahassee to tell the story of how they want to do their trails next. Next. Yeah, a little bit more. Hit the next one. I think I'm coming home. Yep, that's it. So we're launching a new website, actually, speaking of getting the good word out, at blueprintia.org. We're also looking at a new interfaced trail map beyond beyond Trailahassee. But the moral of the story and the great focus here is we have our own great story to tell. We've been telling it, and we're going to amplify that message even more as we continue to invest in ourselves through Blueprint and other related projects, connecting not just internally, but then also regionally and also in partnership with the state. So as always, thank you for the opportunity to present and give a little bit of information. And I'm happy to answer any questions, or you can always reach out to me here at the office. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Ben. As a person that's been born and raised in Tallahassee, I've been so impressed with all the changes that have been made. And I'm so excited about the development and changes to come. So
wonderful to see your presentation. If anyone has any questions for Ben, we can open that up now. We've got a quiet group today. We need some more coffee, but thank you again. Amy had to jump off. She had another call to get on, but thank you so much to both of our speakers today, to Amy and Ben. At this time, I would also like to open up for any comments from our industry partners, if you have any news or updates that you would like to share. All right. Again, let's get a cup of coffee after this meeting, everybody. But next week, we've got another great program planned, and we are going to be hearing from Bo Schmidt, who's the general manager of the Hampton Inn and Suites at Railroad Square, as well as the chair of the Leon County Tourist Development Council. Bo is going to share an update on his current property, as well as an update on his new project, the Hyatt House, that is also being built in Railroad Square. So we're excited to hear from Bo next week. We're also going to be hearing from Dr. Joseph St. Germain, from the president of Downs and St. Germain's Research. He's a reoccurring guest on our weekly calls, but he's going to join us again just to share the latest updates on travel research and trends for Leon County, but also for nationally, because as you know, we continue to watch those. But these are the most uncertain times, but there are brighter days ahead, and we can all do our part. So we encourage you to continue to support all of our tourism partners, including our restaurants, attractions, our hotels, and our bars. And please continue to be safe and wear a mask in public places and indoors. Also, keep in mind that OEB is still offering free masks to businesses, local businesses, for their staff and patrons. I believe it's up to 100 free masks that they are able to get. Ben's nodding, so I'm assuming that's correct. Thank you.
We'll make it happen. Yeah.
Awesome. And you can connect with OEB directly to get those. So, again, thank you all so much for being with us this morning for this special call this week as part of KCCI. I did want to share, again, Betsy had to jump off the call for her press conference, but she asked if I could share to go to kcci.tallahassee.org. There are placemaking events happening all week long that you can participate in, and the schedule is there. So I do recommend you going to that and checking out other really awesome discussions that are taking place about our great community that we live in. So thank you for being here, Ben. Thank you. And I hope you all have a great day.